Today, we're looking at a colorful vision that God has given. If you got your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. It's called More Than Words. More Than Words. And today, we're looking at more than words. How what we say as followers of Christ needs to be more than words. It needs to flow into action. It needs to flow into the idea that we do things, that we take action to make a difference in the lives of those around us and in our own lives. And as a church, we have sought to hear from God and follow the vision of God. And we're going to talk about that vision today. I've got part of it up on the stage, the 5555 vision. And as we talk about vision today, pull your Bibles out. When I think of vision, when I think of a great book to study when it comes to vision, turn with me to Song of Solomon. Just kidding. For those that hadn't been with us the last 3 weeks, we've done 3 weeks on Song of Solomon. And I am so glad I'm not in Song of Solomon today. All right, today we're in Matthew. Matthew, if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew. And Song of Solomon's a great book, by the way, but just we preached on it 3 weeks. That was enough. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. This is probably my favorite passage in the whole Bible. Because for me, this is where Jesus takes all the teachings in the Word of God and he shrinks it down to something very simple and understandable for all of us to walk away with. And really, these two things that he shrinks it all down to, really, if we apply these two things to our life, it really does affect every area of our life. And Matthew 22, starting verse 34, he says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question Jesus again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?' Jesus replied, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to speak to us. Lord, we're so grateful that you have a vision for our lives and a purpose. We're thankful, God, that you didn't just spin the world in place and say best of luck and walk away. But that, Lord, you truly have a purpose and a plan for each one of us in here and as a church. And we just come before you now. We pray that your Spirit would speak to us and through us and that we would carry this out in Putnam County and around the world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today, as we're talking about vision, I'll just share you a little bit about the start of the church. This church was started on prayer. There was a couple that had a vision for a church like this to be planted in this area. And they began praying for God to raise up a pastor and a planter. They called my wife and I out in California and we told them we would pray with them. But we felt like God had called us to California, at least at that time. And we prayed with them for 3 years and they never gave up praying. And then one day as I was having my study time, I felt like the Lord said it was time for us to move back here to plant the church with them. And we moved back. It was my mom, my wife, myself, my two kids, and the two of them. So that was seven. And then they had two kids in college, so I was nine. And we practiced church growth quickly. My wife and I had a baby, so we went to 10. You know, 10% growth overnight like that. And we began to pray and just ask God for our city and our county and our state and our nation. Just asking God, God, if you would just do a work in and through us. And our vision was to reach this whole city for Jesus. Because why would we want any less, right? Why any less? Now, on any given Sunday in Cookeville, Tennessee, about 30% of the people, 25 to 30% of the people are in church. Now, for me, that tells me there's 70% of the folks that are out there that aren't going anywhere at that time. How can we help them discover the love of God? How can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? What does that look like on our part? Well, the first thing is, as individuals, we've got to love God. This is when Jesus was asked, the Pharisees, these religious leaders, they were trying to trap him. They were trying to get Jesus to say something that they could accuse him of and have him arrested. And so they said, "What's the greatest commandment, Jesus?" And he said, "First of all, the greatest is loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first. And the second is loving your neighbor as yourself." Now, stop and think about it for a minute. What does that not cover? I mean, it really covers everything. If I love God, I'm going to want to worship God, serve God, know God, pray, read my Bible, you know. If I love people, I'm going to want to forgive them, encourage them, strengthen them, respect them, not cheat them, lie to them, deceive them, right? I mean, if you put it into perspective, those two commands really cover our behavior in all areas. Work, home, play. And it really simplifies it for me. So in my dealings with other people, I can just ask myself. My son and I had this conversation. He was going to sell his car. And he said, well, Dad, how much do I tell them about what's wrong with the car? Because it was a clunker. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, I said, the answer to that is how much would you want someone to tell you is wrong with the car they're selling you? Well, you know, we start going, well, do we really want that much information? Would they buy it? I said, I don't know. That doesn't matter. What matters is integrity, right? What matters is that we love other people and we love God in a way that we can go to sleep at night. And if we get a phone call from somebody going, hey, I bought your car. You didn't tell me that the turn signals don't work. Well, you didn't ask. Click. Right? That's so rude. It's like, oh, no, I told you. Remember? I told you this. I told you that. I gave you the whole spiel. And so for me, I look at these two passages and they really guide our whole church. As we're asking, should we participate in the backpack program for the kids in our community? Well, that's loving people. That's pretty good, right? Should we partner with the rescue mission? Yeah, that's a great opportunity. How can we love people more? Now, we can't do everything. We can't be in every nation. We can't be involved in every ministry. We understand that. But these two things guide our decisions as individuals and as a church on how we can make a difference. There's a great book on this because I believe this is the thing that gives us the most purpose in life. Where we stand with God. I mean, you see folks that they're critically acclaimed in music. They're critically acclaimed with money. They've been successful leaders. But they wind up taking their own lives for different reasons. They wind up unfulfilled. And I believe the reason is until we find our purpose in God, we're still going to be searching. A book, Purpose Driven Life, by a guy named Rick Warren. His very first paragraph says this. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. Man, how true that is. Many of us are struggling because we don't yet know the purpose of God for our lives. Struggling because we bought the truths of the world or the ideology of the world that says, if you just get your college degree, then you can breathe and be happy. If you just get the job that you've always wanted to land, then you'll be happy. If you'll just get married, that spouse will fill your needs, and then you'll be happy. If you'll just have kids, they will always behave, and then you'll be happy. Right? We have these thought processes that if we reach levels A, that's where happiness is. The truth is we're called to learn to be content every day. To find joy and peace in our lives every day. And that comes, I believe, in knowing God's will for your life. I asked a question in my men's group this last week. You know, how do you know God's will for your life? How do you discover that? And we all gave different answers of how God has shown us different things in our lives. It comes down to this. Being in love with God. If you're in love with God, you know God. And if you know God, then He lets you in on His story for you. So, could you imagine my marriage if I told my wife I love her on my wedding day and then I only went home to see her once a month? And I just call her and she'd say, hey, honey, are you coming home after work? Whew, It's been a busy day, dear. I think I'm going to hang out with the guys and have a few. So I may be home by Thursday or Friday if that's okay. Yeah, you're laughing because you know my wife. It would not be okay. I would not be walking today. Both legs would be broken. No, she's a wonderful lady, but she would not put up with that, right? And I wouldn't have a true relationship with her. I would merely have a conversation with her. And sadly, for many of us, that's what our relationship with God is. It's just a conversation once a week when we're getting pulled over by that police officer. And we're going, Lord, please give him mercy. Please give me mercy. I promise I'll fix that tomorrow. I'll fix that taillight tomorrow. I'll fix that taillight tomorrow. Right? But God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to include him and have a conversation with him about our jobs, about our families, about our day. He wants us to literally have a relationship. Now, as men, those of us that are men, we're not always the best at conversation. It's not our strong suit. But what I would say to you, men, is you need the Lord's conversation in your life as much as anybody else. And all of us need to humble ourselves and realize we need this relationship with God. So he says, love God with all your heart. What does that look like? That's a relationship like I was just talking about, like with your spouse. Matter of fact, God says that the church is his bride and that he is the groom. And that is the equivalent of a relationship that he gives us to understand his relationship with us as followers of Christ. He wants that level of love within us. The second thing, love him with all our soul. I believe God's given all of us a soul, a spiritual side that he wants us to give unto him, that he wants us to be in love with him. He wants us to walk by faith so that we're asking questions. We're on a journey. If you ever want to have an exciting life, then just start saying to God, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do today. I'll go wherever you want me to go today. I'll talk to anybody you send my way today. Just show me where I need to go. I tell you what, he will put some crazy things in your way that day. He'll let you see somebody broke down on the side of the road that you never noticed before. And the Spirit will prompt you to go, you asked for it, right? He'll have you bump into somebody at Walmart or Sears that you hadn't seen in 3 years. And the last time you saw them, you didn't like them. And he'll say, there they are. Go apologize for being a jerk. And you're going, no, that's not what I mean, God. I just meant like if you want me to invite somebody to church, you know, not like apologize or actually repent before them or he'll have you get that phone call from that in-law that needs $100 again and say, now what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? You see, this journey with God of loving him speaks to our soul, where we are called to do something spiritual. Next 4 weeks, we're going to do a series on supernatural and looking at the supernatural elements of God and how he wants to work supernaturally through us, through prayer, through spiritual warfare. And so we'll be looking at that the next 4 weeks. But so loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I think we missed this one. I think a lot of us miss this one. We get so busy that we think we don't have time to really read the Word of God, really study what it says, and really dig in for ourselves the truth in the Word of God. And we can get in a real bad habit of coming to church and saying to the pastor, feed me, feed me. And that's all we get out spiritually for the week. And I'm glad to come. Man, I love this. I love sharing what Christ has done in my life and from the Word of God. But I'm telling you, you need 7 days a week. You need to be stimulating your mind with things of the Lord, because 7 days a week, the world is bombarding us with stuff, right? I mean, anybody in here, has anybody in here ever been on Facebook? Anybody? A couple of you? Okay. I mean, all throughout the day, what are we getting online now? It's like it's election year. It's election year, right? And it's like, can you believe if Trump becomes president, I'm leaving the country? You know, I love all the stars that say they're leaving the country if Trump becomes president. I just want to see him get to be president for that reason alone. Will these people really leave? Are they really serious? You know, or maybe it's Sanders. Well, if Sanders becomes president, that's it. I am done. We are no longer a democracy. I am out of here. Really? Really? Are you really leaving? Listen, we have a great gift in our country. We still have the freedom to preach and teach and love people with the love of Jesus everywhere we turn and go. We have the freedom to love God, love people, and impact the world wherever we go. And this world is not our home. America's not your home. Cookville's not your home. Heaven is our home. We're only here for just a snippet of time compared to eternity. I had a friend of mine, he said this to me one time, and it really kind of jarred my thinking. He said, "Steve, do you realize that we're living in eternal life?" I said, "Well, Greg, I know that when I die, I'll have eternal life." He said, "No, think about it." He said, "The moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, your eternal life began." He said, "There will be a time where you'll pass away, maybe in the night, maybe in a car accident, whatever that might be. But," he said, "to you, it'll be like a flash, and it'll be like going to sleep and waking up, and you'll be in the presence of God." He said, "So think about it. We're already living eternal life. So how does that affect the way we should live? We should truly live in such a way that all that we do is pointing towards that eternity." And so when you love God with all your mind, it's about spending time with Him each day. We've got this is something we put together, our 2016 devotional guide. If you're new and you hadn't picked one up, they're at each door when you leave. Grab one of these. We're going through the New Testament twice this year, a chapter a day. And it gives you a place to write down your thoughts on what you read. And the goal is just to interact with God's Word so that your mind becomes sharpened for Him. So we also are going to be challenging you guys. We're doing something called a Leadership Summit this year. We're bringing in a ministry in August that takes 2 days and teaches Christian leadership and leadership in the world. You'll be hearing more about that from Jeremy later. Because our heart is to train and equip everybody to be in love with God. Well, the second thing is loving people. Now, how many of you know that loving people is harder than loving God? How many of you got that crazy aunt or uncle or cousin that every time you get together at Christmas or Thanksgiving, everybody's just wondering what they're going to say this time, right? And if you don't have one of those in your family, guess what? You're him. Okay? Just saying. If you don't have one, they're all thinking, "Oh, here comes Steve DeBoo." I wonder what Taboo's going to say this year, right? And so people are harder to love because people lie to us. People cheat us. People sell us things that they say work and we get them home and they don't. I've almost lost my faith in yard sales. Anybody go to yard sales? I love yard sales. They're so much fun. But I tell you what, the last 3 CD players I bought just so I can have something to listen to in my garage, not one of them CD player works. And they all tell me the same thing. "Oh yeah, yeah, it works. I was just listening to it." Well, it's not like it's rocket science. I put the thing in, I push play. It either works or it doesn't, right? The last 3 in a row don't work. I'm like, "Really? How bad do you need $3? Your integrity's worth $3. Come on, people." Right? So people are harder to love. And not only that, but we live in a world that's broken. And so when Jesus says, "Love your neighbors, you love yourself," this isn't easy. Because the world is broken. How many of you know that you need somebody to love you? That you need the support and the strength of what comes through the body of Christ? 2 weeks ago was probably in my top 5 weeks of worst weeks of my life. It was garbage. We got a phone call from my wife's brother that he had it confirmed he has stage 4 lymphoma. And he's got 3 kids. And we were like, "Oh my goodness." And if that wasn't bad enough, then my wife got another call about 2.5 hours later. Her former sister-in-law, who's raising our niece's nephew, committed suicide. And left behind a 17 and a 5-year-old. So my wife got in the car and she drove to visit her family and to be there for them. And me and the kids, we stayed behind so that she could work through that. And then at the same time, everybody started getting strep throat. So 5 out of 7 of us got strep throat. And so we're discouraged and we're all sick as a dog going back to I wish we could just like hire a full-time nurse to live in our house. We'd probably save money in the long run. You know what I'm saying? It's like just one after the other, 5 out of 7. And then, so that was through Sunday. And then Monday morning, I talked to somebody and realized I'd disappointed them. I hadn't done anything morally wrong. I just missed something that I should have seen. And they were going through a hard time, and I didn't make a phone call, and so they were saddened by that, and so I was frustrated. I talked to somebody else, and they were sharing they were going through a tough time. And then the next morning, I talked to somebody, and they were disappointed in how I'd handled the situation, and that I hadn't included them on it so that they could be a part of the solution. And you know, the devil just starts beating me down. And go, you are the worst pastor in America. You know, can you not just get this figured out? You've been doing it long enough, you know. And so on top of that, I got strep. And so Wednesday night came, and I'm supposed to lead the Wednesday night Bible study here. And I called a friend that was in the group, and I just said, Steve, can you lead for me tonight? He's like, why? I said, because I just want to punch somebody in the face. And unlike Donald Trump, I don't have the money to pay the legal fees. I said, seriously, I'm tired, I'm sick, and I'm just in a bad spot. And so he offered to do that for me. And so he came and he met and he prayed for me and he took over. And because I'm not one of those guys, I'm not good at just saying, when people say, hey, how you doing? I'm not good at just lying and saying, fine. If my life's in the toilet, I can't just go, oh, I'm fine. Fine. If my life's in the toilet, I want to tell you it's in the toilet. But everybody coming on Wednesday night wasn't coming to hear that my life was in the toilet. So I on Tuesday morning, I have a men's group. I shared with the guys in my small group. They prayed for me. On Wednesday, I was still in the toilet. So I asked staff members to pray for me, and they prayed over me. But I was still burnt. So Wednesday night, they permissioned me to get somebody to take my place and go home. So I'm driving home Wednesday night, having somebody take my class. And then I'm like, well, what am I going to do at home? I don't want to watch TV, and all my kids and my wife are here. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I should just tuck around. And I thought, you know what? I need a haircut. What do you do when I need a haircut? So I'll just get my haircut. So I pull into a place to get my haircut, and a lady calls my name, and she's like, hey, how you doing? And everything inside of me wanted to lie. But that's not good for a preacher, you know? So, or anybody for that matter, but so I couldn't say fine. So I said, well, you know what? I'm surviving today. And she said, you know what? Me too. And she started telling me everything that happened in her life. And we started talking, and I realized after about 30 minutes of getting my hair cut that her life's a whole lot harder than my life. And that maybe things aren't quite so bad. And so we talked and we discussed and she shared about her life, and I thought she was done, and then she's like, and another thing, and she started cutting again. That's why my hair's so short. Literally, like, she cut the whole thing 3 times in a row. She just kept going. And it was going through my mind. I was like, I will have no hair left after tonight. But I got done, and I said, hey, can I pray for you? She said, oh, that'd be great. And so I prayed with her. And I left. I thought, you know what, God, you're so awesome. You know, in the midst of my tough time, God sends me someone else to minister to, so I can realize how good I've got it. And that only God could figure the irony in making that work. You know what I'm saying? But as I left there, I was like, God, thank you. Thank you that you tell us to love people even when we don't feel like it. Thank you to tell us that we need love. Now, I'm a blessed man. I've been doing this long enough to know that when I start going down a spiral, to reach out to my friends and family that will pray for me. And so I did that. And so I was telling somebody about this on Saturday. They're like, well, you don't seem like you're that bad of a place. I'm like, no, I'm not, because I've had like 30 people pray for me, you know. And they're like, oh, okay, great. And so I've learned that when I'm in that spot, to reach out to those who will pray with me, okay? And I would just say to you, everybody in this room needs that place. You need either a small group, a life group, You need a group of Christian friends, not just friends, because friends are good, but you need someone who will actually pray with you. Because there's something supernatural about connecting you to God in prayer. And we need that. And sometimes we're a little too prideful. We don't want to reach out. We'll say, hey, I got this. I don't need prayer. I got this. And the truth is, that's when you need it the most. And I just stand before you as your pastor saying, listen, I need Jesus and I need you. I need a church family that will love me. And I need to be given the freedom to love you and encourage you as well. And if you don't have a place for that, if you're not in a life group, I encourage you to find one. Jeremy is always at this table back here. He's always trying to connect people. He's doing announcements later so you'll know who he is. But let him connect you to small group. When we started Wednesday nights, a big part of that was getting people in small groups. We got 160 folks in small groups on Wednesday nights. We want to get you in a place where you have people that will love you and you can love others. So loving God, loving people, and last thing is impacting the world. You got to listen to God. The third thing is impacting the world. Now, it's great to have friends and family that love you. We had friends over Friday night. We played volleyball, and their family and our family both love the Lord. And so there's no fighting, no cussing, no punching, none of that went on, at least amongst the kids. And so we had a great time together playing together. And I thought, man, this is how life should be, where you just enjoy being with people and hanging out with people. And it's just so natural and relaxing. But guess what? Most of the world doesn't understand that. Most of the world does not have that level of love and that place that they can go to be encouraged and refreshed. And so we've got to get the word to the whole world about the hope that Christ has given to us. We've got to move out of our comfort zone and not live in a Christian bubble. If you live in a Christian bubble with just Christian friends and Christian activities and Christian church attendance and just Christians all around you, then you are missing out on one of the most important parts, and that is the give back factor. God created us all to give back. God created us to find fulfillment when we are helping others. It's kind of like a hand up and a hand down. We need others that we can reach up to when we're struggling and encourage us, and that we can grab a hold of and be strengthened by. And then we need those that we can reach out to that are struggling that we can help and pray with and encourage and pull forward with us. It's a both and. Without that both and, we don't fully experience the vision and purpose for our lives that Christ intends. Acts 1:8, if you'll flip over in your Bible, Acts 1:8 is the best verse I know of talking about impacting the world. In Acts 1:8, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he's kind of giving his final marching orders. And he says to him, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Now, back here we have the vision, the 5-5-5-5 vision. And that came when we were about 7 years old as a church. We just moved into the building. And we started asking the question, what does God have for us next? It was almost like by moving into the building, we were in a school for 6.5 years. It was almost like by moving in the building, we almost could get settled and go, and relax. But you see, God never called us to do that. He called us to impact the world. And so we started praying, okay, God, what's next? A friend of mine invited me to an Acts 1:8 conference. We went out there and the speaker began to speak about these four areas and how we need to set our vision on those four areas. And so for us, the first five is 5,000 disciples in Putnam County impacting the world. And so our first part of this vision is, what are we doing in our own Jerusalem, in our own backyard? And we're getting to do a lot. We're very blessed that we get to do a lot in our own backyard. And that's where ministry starts. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This last week, I was at a meeting for a homeless in our community and trying to find out more how we can help. And while I'm there, there's about 30 people in the room. Somebody was there from the rescue mission, and they came up to me afterwards and said, hey, I just want to say thanks to your church for Freedom Ministries. They said it's been such a huge part of the rescue mission, having them come over. Our freedom ministries that are part here at the river goes to the rescue mission once a week and leads a class on freedom from addictions. And then they bring out those that want to come from the rescue mission, they bring them to freedom ministries on Tuesday nights. Just one more way we can be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. And then Fellowship of Christian Athletes gets the freedom to go into schools. And we're blessed in our public school system that they'll open the doors to SCA. And so some folks from our church go over to Avery Trace, and they've got 80 to 90 middle schoolers coming and showing up 45 minutes early for school for SCA once a week. Probably doesn't hurt that we buy them donuts, but you know what? I don't mind throwing a donut around in order to get somebody's attention. Amen. It's 80 to 90 students. And then while I was also in that same meeting, I had somebody else come up to me and say, "Hey, I'm with the Stephen Street Care Center." And we, you may not know, it's our way of helping those with food and clothing and some utilities. And so a couple days a week, they open up the center. It's over on Short Street on the campus of Stephen Street Baptist Church. And there are five churches. We partner together and we invite folks to come in, and we share with them the hope we have in Christ and provide food and clothing to help them out in our community. And he said to me, he said, "I'm so grateful for your church." He said, "Y'all send so many people over to staff us." He said, "We couldn't do it without you." And I was just grateful for those in our church that volunteer to serve, because Christ has called us to love the poor and minister to the poor. That's part of what we're called to do and part of who we're called to be when we impact the world. So many other things I could share with you what God's done. And I would just say to you, the next generation is where we've been preaching and reaching since we started. And I'm just encouraged by what God's doing. You know, there are those that are saying that if we don't do anything different as a nation, that one out of every 10 children will not believe in God in 10 years from now. One out of 10. Because of where we're going. Now, I believe that for us as a church, that we have a great opportunity to pour into the next generation, to these children and these youth and college students. And so I said, you know what? I wonder how things have happened over the last 12 months. And so I just went back and looked over the last 12 months. So in the last 12 months, our youth ministry has grown 14%. And the gathering, our college ministry is up 15%. And our children's ministry is up 37% in the last 12 months. Man, those kids are coming out of everywhere. And somebody said, "Yeah, you just did a 3-week sermon series. Just wait till 9 months from now." I said, I don't know. Where are we going to put them? I don't know. We moved into this building for the purpose of giving them that whole wing, and they're taking it over, and that's what we want, right? That's why we're having to hire somebody else in children's ministry, because we just keep having so many kids, and it's a great thing. God has given us such a great time in our nation. So many people are so afraid, going, "Oh no, what if so-and-so becomes president?" Guess what? We've had bad presidents before, and we'll have bad presidents again. Jesus is still on the throne, and we still have good news that will change the world. And it's up to us whether we will walk in that faith or we'll walk in fear. And I say we walk in faith. I say we teach our children to walk in faith. I say we pour into our children and we give them the hope of Christ, and we never look back, and we don't wait for other people to take the lead. Each one of us takes the ownership for all our children, and we just choose that we're going to pour into these kids. We've got a privilege. We've got a privilege to make an impact in the next generation. And we do that also through planting churches. You know, this last year, for those that maybe you're not familiar with what we do, we are passionate about starting new churches. And we even start them, the last church we started, well, one of them was less than a mile from here in the movie theater. And I have people all the time say, "Are you crazy? Why would you start a church a mile from where you are at?" Because I believe a new church reaches new people. And Refuge Church is there. And then we also started Hope in Christ in Monterey. And then we helped start Kinos here in town. We weren't their mother church, but we were partner church. Out of those three churches in Putnam County, just in the last 2 years, over 300 people are worshiping the Lord. That's awesome, folks. That's on top of what God's doing here. We get a chance to partner in those church plants. And that's just in counting. 500 new churches, the next 500 new churches in Tennessee. We want to start a church in every town in Tennessee. It's just that simple. That's our vision. We've seen 30 new churches started so far through the network that we started. And we started 12 on our own. And out of those 12, I mean, God's doing crazy big things. Sparta, we just started Sparta 9 months ago, and there's a river church in Sparta now. They baptized 9 in 9 months, and they've gone from the 25 people that we sent them, they're running over 90 now in Sparta, Tennessee. Pretty exciting, huh? Crossville, we did not plant Josh up in Crossville, but we adopted him after he was about a year old. And I coach him, and we give finances to help them out, and they've taken it from a handful of people. And on Easter Sunday, they had over 1,000 in Crossville, Tennessee. How crazy is that? Yeah, amen, amen. Kind of making me jealous. They baptized 52 the week after Easter. I was like, oh my goodness, the child's doing more than the mama, you know. But I was so excited for him. Every week we have more than double what we have here. We have in the church plants that we've planted, almost double what we have here. We have in church plants that we've planted. That's just a way that we can reach our state. And then there you got the 50 church planting centers in America. We're going and taking these short term mission trips to other states. Like we got 17 going to Alaska. And we go there and we partner with church plants to try to help them reach their state, because so many other states don't have near the resources that we have for the gospel. And so you might want to be a part of one of those. I think this year we're partnering with like 6 states. We're sending 3 summer missionaries out for the whole summer. We're going to multiple cities to partner with these churches. Great opportunity for mission trips. And then 5 nations to impact. One of the nations we want to impact is our international student community here. Loving on these students while they're here. Letting them know that Christ loves them. Being host families. Some of those, my wife and I have hosted people in our home. Others, we've just hosted them and become friends with them and had them over for dinner. But it's a great opportunity to get to know another culture without going there. And so we hope to have 5 nations that we identify as the 5. Central Asia. We've got 6 people on the field there full-time, serving the Lord, planting churches. We've got 14 leaving for Italy in June. Cuba, we're going back to Cuba in the fall. If you want to go to Cuba, man, we saw a lot of people. You know, we think of Cuba as Latin America, but you got to understand, they've been communist for so long that many of them never even have heard the name of Christ. People think that Cuba is Catholic. It's not. It's communist. And so it's a great opportunity there. Guatemala, we sent 9 to work in the orphanage, and we'll be sending more. So I throw all that out to you. First of all, I hope it excites you to see what God's doing, because the world wants to say that Christianity is on the decline, and it's not. Matter of fact, in China and India, it's exploding right now. In America, it's maintaining in the evangelical Christian community. The mainline denominations are tanking, I believe, because they're not preaching the Bible is the Word of God anymore. They're just teaching more like go to church and be a good person. We can't be good without Jesus. We got to have Jesus. Without Jesus, it's all impossible. He is the one that's come and changed our hearts and lives. And so I believe we're at a great place in time and in culture, and that all of us have a chance to jump in somewhere. And that's my first challenge to you. Jump in somewhere. If you don't know where to jump in, come talk to me. They call it getting tabooed. If you haven't been around here long, my last name's Taboo, and they call it getting tabooed. They're like, if you come to me and you say, hey, Pastor, I really think we should do something with the homeless, I'll go, that's a great idea. When are you going to start? You know? And everybody's always like, well, I was thinking you might. No. God's put the vision on your heart. And we've seen so many great ministries started. And I want to encourage you. God wants to do something in your life, but part of that is the give back factor, giving back through service. So jump in somewhere. We'll offer a Next Steps class here here within a month, and Steve will be taking us through how to understand how we're shaped and wired for that. But none of that really matters unless we have a relationship with God. Unless we love God, we're missing out on everything else that matters in life. You can have a good marriage. You can have great children. But God put inside all of us a desire to know Him. And until we discover that, we won't find that fullness, that richness of finding our purpose. So I want to ask you to bow your head with me for a minute. I just want to ask you today, where are you at with God? Have you ever said to Him that you want a relationship with Him? Are you walking with Him each day? If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, then I want to invite you today to pray and give your life to Jesus this morning. The first step is just by letting Him know that you want Him to be your King and your Lord. And then it's turning away from lies and deceit and choosing to love Him and love people and impact the world. If God's speaking to your heart right now, then I invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me. Dear Lord, today I give my life to You. I want You to be first place. I want to love You and be loved by You. Please forgive me for my past. Today I invite Jesus to be my Savior and King. Help me, Lord, as I walk this out, and I will give You the glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.